Well, good morning. If you would stand. I'm going to start out with an old hymn this morning called Come Thy Fount. And there's a lyric in it, and it says, "And let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee." You see, really what that line should probably say is to bind my wandering mind to thee, because you can never really wander from his presence. And he will never, even the scripture tells you that he is with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll go with you even unto the end. And so we know he's always there, but it's in our mind sometimes that we separate ourselves from him. But scripture says to take captive every thought, making it obedient to Christ. And that's what we have to do, and that's what the series that we're starting is about, is taking captive every thought and making it obedient to the truth that you are who God says you are. Anna said the other day, and I had posted on it, written a blog about it. She said, "If Mom, you know how we always say, 'I am who God says I am.'" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, if I am who God says I am, and I am is God's name, it's the same as saying God is who he says he is, so we are who God says he is." And so we started talking about, who does God say he is? He says he's light, he's love, so you are light and you are love. And so we're going to sing this morning, and we're going to praise him in light of who he is and who you are. Let's worship. Come Thy Fount. Come Thy Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure take me to arrive at home. Here's blessing. Oh, come thy fount, Lord. Let your blessings flow, Lord. We thank you, Father, how much you love us and that your love never fails and it never gives up and it never runs out. And we worship you.
Out on me, your love never fails, it never gives up. His love never gives up, never runs out, and He's always there. And as we sing this next song, when it talks about how we need Him more, it doesn't mean you have to be down and out or a lot of stuff going wrong to need Him. We just need more so we can constantly change, constantly grow, and be exactly who He's called us to be. And but if you're in that time of struggle and you are down and out right now, you don't have to be, because He says He's always there. He never gives up. And when you cry out to Him and you say, I need you more, He's there always. And so sing this morning to praise Him if it's out of your need, but just magnify Him and He'll show up, I promise, in your life every time. So sing it with me. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, Lord.
And all the earth.
Your name, there is no other name we glorify. Your name, we glorify your name in all the earth.
Thank you, Father, Lord, that you are high and lifted up, and your train fills this temple, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that the highest praise belongs to you, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. We thank you, Father, Lord, that we are who you say we are. We thank you, Father, Lord, we are excited to step into something new because your kingdom is forever expanding. You are forever growing, Father. And that is our desire, to forever be expanding and growing in you, who's within us, the hope of glory. We worship you, we praise you, and we give you thanks, Lord. And everyone says, amen.
You may be seated. Ushers can be preparing this morning to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. A couple of just quick announcements. A lot of this information is in your bulletins, but next Sunday, the ladies' ministry is having a planning meeting. So if you are interested in being a part of that, you must be a lady. And if you are, then you can attend. And we are also having a meeting right after service. I don't think this one is in your bulletin, but right after service for about 10 minutes. Any guys or gals, men or women, that are interested in ushering, greeting, we're kind of putting a little twist and lock up, a little twist on that ministry. And so we will be meeting right down front about 10 minutes right after church next Sunday. So some of you are already involved in that. Some of you have thought, maybe I could be involved in that. We're pretty much just asking for a commitment of one Sunday a month to that ministry. So if you want to be a part of that, that would be awesome. Well, let's pray and we'll bless this offering. Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, whether it's cold outside or sunny, that Father, Lord, you are always warm and loving and caring, ready to receive. Thank you for giving to us, Father, Lord. Lord, we bring our first fruits, our tithes, and our offerings, and our alms back to you. Bless it, Father, Lord, to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. That snow graphic usually just looks pretty. It just looked cold to me this morning. But, everybody well? Hope you stay well. Want to do something this morning. I want to pray. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this year. And I'm a little hesitant this morning, not in a confused way, but in a I want to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just hear God's voice. You want to just do that? Is that a good idea? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this past year and your blessings upon us. And thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives and our families. And Lord, today as we just open our hearts, our minds to you, and we pray over the next 3 months, Lord, that we'll be so sensitive to your voice and your spirit. And Lord, help us only say those things for which God is pleasing to you. Lord, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to see more and more what you really want to see in our lives. And more than that, what you want us to see in our lives. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. I want to just say a couple of things this morning. This new series, which is a new and old series. We did it last year, March, April, and May, called I Am Who God Says I Am. And he's the only one who has the right to tell you who you are because he created you. Nobody else has the right to label you. No one has the right to say that you're this or you're that. Only God has that right because he created you, created the universe, created the world. Everything that there is, he created. The Bible says everything is held together by his word. It's in perfect harmony and perfect balance because God is in perfect harmony and perfect balance with his creation. I just said a mouthful there. You just, yeah. But he is in harmony with his creation. He's involved in his creation. He's present in his creation. He is all around us in his creation. He wants us to see him in his creation. He doesn't want you to worship the creation. He wants you to see him in the creation and worship the Creator. That's a huge difference. You've got to be willing to do some things. What I want to talk about this morning before I really get into the crux of the message, and let me just go ahead and you just fill in these blanks, because I may get to it and I may not get to it, but you have verse scriptures there that you can read for yourself and see what we're saying in those things. But the first one is you have to desire it to see who you really need to see and to change. You got to desire it. You got to defend it. It's not going to be easy to maintain it because the world does not do it the way God does it, doesn't think the way God thinks. And the Bible says we're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There's a movement that started several years ago. It kind of slipped in and nobody paid much attention to it. It hasn't been really heralded as a movement yet, but I believe that over the next few years it's going to be heralded as one of the greatest movements in the church history. And this movement is a movement of transformation, a movement that should have started 2,000 years ago, and it did, but it kind of got lost in the I don't know what it got lost in. It just got lost. But the Bible says that we're not to be like the others, but we're to be transformed. And this transformation comes from the inside out. It's an inside out transformation. So we got to be willing to change. We got to be open-minded. If you're not open-minded, then you won't change. And you got to understand that truth in its first sight to us, when we first hear it, sometimes it's negative, but you got to understand, you got to process it, and you got to let it get inside you and work. A paradox is something that seems to be a contradiction, but in reality it's truth. It seems to be a contradiction, but it's not. In reality it's truth. That's what a paradox is. I want you to hold fast to that which is good. The Bible says, despise not prophesying, or don't despise the foretelling and the forthtelling of the will of God. If you hear something that you don't agree with and it ruffles your feathers a little bit or disturbs you a little bit, don't get upset and don't run away. Just hold fast what is good. Just take what's good right now and let everything else just settle as time goes by. You with me? Just hold fast to that which is good. Because nothing's going to be said in this house purposely to deceive you or to be error or to discourage us by any means. Everything to help you to be who God wants you to be. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? All right, here's some principles. There's fundamentals in everything. Been watching a lot of college football over the last few days and some upsets and things that happen. And it all comes down to fundamentals. Football really basically comes down to this. That other team's got the ball, get it back. Don't let them score. Tackle them if they got the ball. Block if you got the ball. Catch the ball, please. Catch the ball, Georgia. So there's fundamentals there. And there's fundamentals in this teaching we're going to share with you today. And here's some of the fundamentals. Number one, you were created in the likeness and in the image of God. God said in Genesis, let us create man. Or let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us create man, mankind, in our own likeness, in our own image. And let them take dominion and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that's creeping on the earth. Let them take dominion over it all. Because I created them that way. Then he places them in a garden. He says, now I want you to till this garden. What it's bearing now, I want it to bear more. What you see here is only the beginning of what I want. So I'm putting you in this garden. I want you to cause this garden. I want you to till it. I want you to tend it so that it will bear more fruit. Now, I'm only asking you this. There's two specific trees in the garden. There's a tree of life, and there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he says, now you can partake of any of the trees of the garden. There's all these other trees out there. I really don't know what they were, because he only signifies two in particular. The rest of them, he just says, there are a lot of trees. He said, you can partake of any of the trees of the garden except one. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. The others were good. They were life. And he said, I want you to eat all you want of life, but don't eat of evil. Don't partake of something that you can see the good and you can see the evil. And so what happens is, you know the story, but let's not assume you do. They partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they were tempted and tested and said, if you do, you will be like God. They already were. They already were like God. And so they believed the lie that they're not like God. And so when they did, they said, but if we take the eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, we'll be like God, which they already were, so they're already deceived. So they eat of this tree, and immediately something happened. Immediately they realized they were naked. Well, really, a better understanding of that is this, and listen closely. The glory that they had left them. Everything that was created, every animal, their fur, they grew their own fur, they grew their own covering, and it came from within. So there was this glory that Adam and Eve have that came from inside them, and it wasn't the nakedness for which we see, but something left them, and it was what God intended for us to have from the beginning, is the glory of God to be upon our life. And see, the Bible says that Jesus came that we might be conformed to His image, and that He might bring many sons unto glory. Many sons unto glory. And so what Christ came to do is to go back into the garden, restore it back the way that it was, put man back into the image that he was supposed to be, so that now they would bear once again the glory of God. Isn't that good? He wants us to have His glory. And that's what He clothed Adam and Eve with, was His glory. And they lost it. That's why he said, all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to his purpose. To them that he did know, he did predestinate that they might be conformed to the image of his son. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. That he might bring many sons unto glory. And so Christ becomes our elder brother, showing us the way that we can have the glory of God in our life. Now, before we get... I can quit saying that because we may not even get to where we're going, but we'll just get there if we do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, not in your notes, but you write it down. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you, this is a prayer of Paul, to us. May you have the power to understand as all God's people should. If you write in your Bible like I do, because I ain't one of those who that believe some of it's just more important than others, and there's a lot in here that's more important than other parts of Scripture. This right here is important. You may have the power to understand as all God's people should. They just don't. Now listen, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. That you may experience this love, that you may know this love that passes knowledge. It's a love that passes. It's a love that when you look at somebody, it passes knowledge. Here's this love. How wide is God's love? How inclusive is it? Who does it include? How wide is it? How long is it? How far will he go? How tolerant will he be? Aren't you glad we have a tolerant God now? Do you know that God's not angry anymore? You know, that's I read the Old Testament, and I see a guy who got upset sometimes. But nothing could appease him until the cross. And when the cross happened, it appeased God. And the anger of God resided. And all of a sudden, the love of God became exactly what it was intended to be from the very beginning for all creation. So you got to include everybody. You got to be tolerant of everybody. How high will it go? Well, when I think of that, I think, well, there's some people smarter than I am, wiser than I am. They have more than I have. And I don't need to be jealous of them. Oh, struck a nerve there. Oh, it's easy to love the down and outer because I feel superior. But I don't know about loving someone who's above me. Wow, because that now I got to love somebody higher than me, smarter than me, brighter than me, better looking than me. Ah, I got to love them too. If you have the love of God. And how low will it go? How low will this love of God go? Now, here's the key. Here's a tremendous fundamental. It's easy for me to say, I am who God says I am. But if you're going to get this truth and it's going to work in you, you got to be able to do this. You ready? You are who God says you are. I can't just see I am who God says I am. I've got to see you the same way. That's a key fundamental. See, I know I've got it together. I know I've got it. I just don't know if you got it. And so it's what's easy for me to do is look at you and see all the negative. Easy for me to look at you and judge you, criticize you, because I see you. But I've out of the gate, until you see me and you see your brother and your sister and you see those behind you and those in front of you and everyone out in the world, it's God's creation. And he said, how can you bless and curse with the same mouth? How can you curse men who are made in the likeness and the similitude of God? How can you do that? That's all important. You're talking about a fundamental. You don't have that fundamental, you won't get this message. You won't get this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, we have stopped evaluating ourselves from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. And the old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Somebody else is getting this side, Ralph. I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure you are. You can just nod your head at least if you're getting it. You ain't got to shout, just give me a nod. Let me know you're getting it. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. This wonderful message of reconciliation. If they ever ask me to do a pastor's conference, if I ever get to do one anywhere, my text will be, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, They comfort me. And the rod is for the devil, and the staff is for the people. The rod is to beat away untruth. It's to beat away everything else. But the staff is to lead God's people. That's just where I'm at. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be offering for our sin, that we should be made right with God through Christ. Is that good stuff or not? Is that good? We are who God says we are. I am who God says I am. And I've got to go out into the world and be an ambassador of reconciliation, reconciling everything and everyone unto God. If you see a brother who sins a sin that's not unto death, then pray for that brother, and I'll give him life for that sin. Whomsoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whomsoever sins you retain, they are retained. Pretty strong scripture. Don't know if you know that's in the Bible. Jesus came to his disciples after the resurrection. He breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven." Wow. Whole thing's about forgiveness, church. It has always been and always will be. Because I have got somebody to forgive every day, and myself being number one. Okay, you didn't get that one. Let me say that one again. Every day I have people to forgive, and the number one is me. And if I don't forgive myself, I can't forgive others. And the reason some of you have problems is if you've never forgiven yourself. You gotta forgive yourself. You gotta love. You can't love others till you love yourself. You can't forgive others till you forgive yourself. You can't see others the way you should see others till you see yourself the way you should see yourself. And it's the bottom line. Now how can you, but you got, as I said, you got to desire this thing. It's not going to just fall in your lap. It just doesn't happen overnight, but it's a wonderful journey. It's a wonderful journey. It's a journey I've been on for at least 20 years. And God, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I guess it was 20 years ago. Matter of fact, it was with Ralph when we was at a conference, and God spoke to me then. And gave me a message of restoration. He says, "I want you to go back." And this is the word he spoke in that conference to me. "I want you to go back, and I want you to preach forgiveness and restoration for the rest of your life." And if you've been here for the last 20 years, you know that's what I've done. I preach restoration, restoration, restoration. Forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. Love, 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 love. I asked to come to a church years ago to preach a message on grace. And I preached a message on the love of God. And I came and preached a message on grace. And the guy came up and said, "That was a great message on love." I said, "You heard it on love, but it was on grace. That's what I was asked to preach about. Grace is love. Grace is love. It's the unmerited favor of God. You didn't merit. You don't merit it. You can't earn it. He gave it to you. It was a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works that we should boast." God just said, "Here it is. I give it to you. What the law could not do, God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the law, that the righteousness of the law might be in us." Oh, I tell you what, I want to live by the fruit of the Spirit, not by the works of the flesh, because I don't like work. If it's got work to it, it ain't no good. Works. Why do you want to do the works of the flesh when you have the fruit of the Spirit? Right? I don't want to work. I want to have fruit. If you go out and watch trees, they're not working. They're not laboring. They're just bearing fruit. They're just bearing fruit. Do you know that work is a curse? Work's a curse. He said, "Because you've done this, I'm by the sweat of your brow now, it's going to be work. Was no thorns, were no thistles, were no hindrances. He just go out and tend to it, no problem. The garden was always perfect." Wow, wasn't that what a life that was? Why I don't plant gardens? It ain't like that anymore. You can't. If they were like that, I would do it. I mean, man, look, it just grows and just it takes care of itself. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. Isaiah 54, if you desire it, and this is where you got to get. Let me back up a moment before I get to this. I try to give you some info about, you know, how numbers mean to me. And number 14, it's going to, just listen to me. One's the number of God. Two is the number of witness. Three is the number of the Trinity. Four is the number of the earth. Five is the number of grace. Six, the number of man. Seven is the number of perfection. Eight's the number of new beginnings. Nine is the number of fruitfulness. Ten is the number of completeness. 11 is the number of heavenly things or of heaven. 12 is the number of government. 13 is the number of disorder and how you need to bring order. 14 is double sevens. It's double perfection. On the 14th day, he said, take the blood and place it on the lintels of your door. And when death comes, it will pass over you. I'm prophesying to you, do you want a year where death passes over you because you keep things under the blood of the everlasting covenant and you only see life? And death will pass over. I want judgmentalism, criticism. I want bad thoughts. I want evil things to pass over me. Don't you want that? 5, 6, 7. How many want that for 2014? All the bad pass over and all the good come down? Huh? Let's receive that as a church. All the bad pass over and all the good come down. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, and he gives it to all men. The wisdom of God is without partiality. He upbraideth it not. He gives it to everybody. All you got to say, Lord, I want it. You can be dumb and you can be wise. It's all up to you every single day of your life. You can say, God, I want to be wise. You'll be wise. You want to be dumb, you can be dumb. And I've been dumb and I've been wise, and I guarantee you I like wise over dumb every day. Because the wise things always bless me and the dumb things always hurt me. Right? Anybody done any dumb things this past year? What came out of it good? Nothing. So you're going to have to wake up and go, you know, I want to do it the way God says to do it. One thing you got to believe. Well, let me just get on into it. Sing, O childless woman, you have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, who have never been in labor. Who is Jerusalem today? You are. We're the new Jerusalem. I know, it stretches some people right there. Well, I thought Jerusalem was overseas. There is one over there. There is. But you're the new Jerusalem. I can't go there yet, Ralph. You're the new Jerusalem. I got in trouble over that a lot of time. I will get to that. The new Jerusalem is us. And he says, if you haven't had the fruit that you want to have, sing aloud. You don't see it? Act like you see it. Sing, O Jerusalem. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense. Now, this old King James, now I won't tell you why they're having to go King James, because I don't know why they're having to go to King James. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. What he's saying, you got to make room for truth. You got to make room for truth. Keith, come take care of that. You got to make room for truth. So say, I'm going to make room for truth this year. I'm not going to spare any expense. Whatever it costs me, I'm going to do it. It's going to cost me some criticism, because when you start living this kind of life, there's going to be people who tell you, you can't be that way. You can't be that positive. You just can't be that way. It's just not that easy. It's just not this. It's just not that. You're going to pay the cost? You'll be persecuted. You better believe me. You will be persecuted for truth. You look at me and I'll tell you, you want to know the price? Look at the seats around you that's empty. That's the price of truth. Okay. It's the price of truth sometimes. Sometimes truth costs something. When Jesus looked at a crowd, he had thousands follow him, but he turned around and said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to eat my flesh, you're going to drink my blood, they left him. And then he turned to his disciples and said, will you also go? And Peter, who was sometimes zigging when he should have been zagging, hit one of the ballpark here. He said, where shall we go? For thou art the Christ, you are the truth, and you have shown us the truth. Where else can we go? Where else can we go? We want the truth and nothing but the truth. Really? Sometimes it's like the movie, You Can't Handle the Truth. You got to decide if you're going to handle the truth. You're going to get upset with truth, or you're going to handle the truth. You're going to accept the truth, you're going to believe the truth. Because some of you, the truth says you just got to love your enemy, and that's hard enough right there. Really? I never thought had to love my enemy. Well, you never read the scriptures. You got to pay a price of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And do we have that one? I do. He said this, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay their hands on you. Now he's talking to Timothy. Give yourself complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. And so he says to Timothy, he says to me, if we will give ourselves attention to the truth that's being spoken, it will save us. And salvation is a bigger word than keeping us out of hell and taking us to heaven. Salvation is an all-inclusive word that entails every detail of our life. It involves life, it involves love, it involves prosperity, it involves healing, it involves every single good thing you can think of. That's salvation. But some people got enough, they got saved, they were waiting for God to come, and they just want to go to heaven. Well, you might as well hit yourself over the head with a club and go on. God didn't put us here to do that. God says, I brought you out to bring you in. I brought you out to bring you in. I didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. That's wonderful. That's not why I saved you, to be a light, to be a testimony, to be the salt of the earth, to be a reconciler, an ambassador for God. Right? That's what God has us here for. So 1 Timothy, he tells me what I got to do and tells us what we got to do as a church. You have to defend it. You got to defend it. You're going to walk out of here and you're not going to be surrounded by these four walls of it's got us all together. We're all hearing the same thing. It's not going to happen that way. You're going to walk out into a world, and it's what Jesus said. If you can't understand this parable, how can you understand any of the other parables? You got to understand this one. He said, you can't understand anything. And this is what he said. There was a sower, and he sowed seed. Some of the seed fell by the wayside. That's where everybody else walks. That's where everybody else walks. And that's where other people are going to say things that's not in agreement with what you're hearing and what you need to hear. Some of it fell upon shallow ground. I'm not going to go any deeper. This is deep as I'm going. I'm not going any deeper. He says, no, you got to go deeper because it'll spring up, but it won't last long. Some of it fell upon a stony ground thorny ground. And he said, other things, the lust of other things, other things can just take it from you. But some fell on good. And on the good soil, they heard it. They listened to it. They accepted it. They produced it. But here's what you got to see is why. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? No. A lamp is placed on a stand where the light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought to the open. Every secret will be brought to light. And anyone who hears to hear should listen and understand. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. There's a principle in Scripture. He that hath shall be given more. He that hath not shall be taken, even that which he hath. It's a principle that covers every area of our life. Every area of our life. It's a principle. And that principle must be adhered to. But you got to understand who it's for. Then in Luke chapter 6, you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer them your shirt. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, big deal. Why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners when they get in full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. Then you'll be truly acting as children of the Most High. For this kind, we are thankful. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Oh, we ain't done. Do not judge others, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn others, for it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and you shall receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, make room for more, running over, and pouring to your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, we've heard this scripture quoted 1,000 times. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you give money, it'll be given to you. That's not what that scripture is saying. Now, you want that? Go to Malachi chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but don't go here for that, because that ain't what it's saying. It's saying, if you want love, give it. You want forgiveness, give it. You want compassion, give it. Whatever you want, you give that, and you'll get it back. Exactly. That's what it says. Well, hallelujah. That's how it works. Romans 1:20, the Bible says, for Jesus, the world was not a lost and evil place. It was the garment of a living God. Because he said, if you can look at creation and you can see me, all of men are without excuse, because you can't look at creation and not see God. And I'll just say this and run like I can run as fast as I can run. If you got a destructive theology, you won't get this. You can't have a destructive theology and believe in the grace and the love and compassion and the kindness of an everlasting, eternal God. Amen. Can't do it. They don't go hand in hand. They don't go hand in hand. God loves his creation. God loves his creation. Do you love your kids? Some of you, I don't know. Let me show you the comparison. Then I ask you, do you love your kids? I'd be on when I ask you. Because sometimes you go, sometimes. I'm loving this one right now. This one over here, I don't know. Well, let me show you the difference. God is not that way. God never has a bad day with his kids. Even when you have a bad day with him, he never has a bad day with you. Even when you have a bad day with him, he never has a bad day with you. He loves you. And so he loves his creation. He loves them trees out there. He said, you want us to go be a tree hugger? You might need to hug one. You might need to go hug a tree sometime and just, oh no, oh that's this, that's that. Really? Go hug a dead tree and go hug a live tree. See what you feel. Never doubted it. Never doubted it. All of his creation groaneth. How many times I got to quote this scripture? All of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. For we were subject to this on our own will, but they did not, was not subject by their own will. They subject because of us. Okay, dokie. That'll take a little time. Sink down. Last but not least, you got to be diligent. 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this scripture. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. What? Old King James says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to have knowledge of God to have more grace and to have more peace. The more, if it doesn't bring you grace and peace, I'm telling you, it's not truth. You know, my when Lucy and I was standing at the window, and it was all rainy and storming and lightning going everywhere, and Lucy got all scared, and she said, "Oh no, God's going to destroy the earth again." And he spoke to her and says, "Oh no, God promised he'd never do that again." And she said, "Wow, that gives me peace of mind." It should. Doctrine, good doctrine, should give you peace of mind. Okay, four of you got that one. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We all received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Moral excellence, knowledge. Learn something. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, patient endurance. Patient endurance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. I'm just going to say this. The reason that many people can't do the last part, show brotherly kindness and charity or love, is they start by trying to love people. Yet that's the last step. First of all, you got to start with faith in people. You got to believe in moral excellence. You got to have some knowledge. You got to have self-control. You got to have patient endurance. You got to have brotherly affection. Then you'll love them. You know how to love somebody? Start being kind to somebody and see if you want to start loving them. Just start being kind. You can love me or you can hate me. It's real easy. It's not a long step from love to hate. Love is just, "Hey, Buren, how are you? You really look nice today. Man, I appreciate everything you said. Wow. I just love you, love you, love you, love you. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. Boy, you just love the stew out of me. Boy, you can say, I don't know about this dude. I don't know about this. Man, you said one thing that just rocked my boat today. And I da da this and I da da. You ain't gonna love anybody." Boy, it's such a small step from love to hate. And see, some people think hate is just, "I hate you." You know, you've heard, how many times have you heard this? "I don't hate them, I just don't like them." You hate them. You hate them. You love them, you hate them. You love God, you hate God. There's no, ain't this huge step. You ain't, "I hate you." That's anger, son. That's anger. That's, "I don't like you" character. This, it means I'm mad. That kind. No, it's just, I just... said that Esau hated his birthright. What's what scripture? He hated his birthright. It means he just thought very little of it. That's how you just think less of than you ought to think. You with me? I'm loving Barbara or I'm hating her in a moment. I'm loving her, appreciating her, or I'm not appreciating her. Same here, back and forth. And so it all starts, it's this thing called love, this thing called charity. It's a powerful force, but it doesn't start there. You know, I didn't fall in love with, I mean, you've heard the story, but I didn't fall in love with Barbara when I first saw her in that bikini. It helped. But, I was not, my original intent was not good. When I saw her walking with that leopard bikini on, and that's Winnie Miss Griffin, I went, well, let me tell you something, it was all lust. Believe me, I was 21 years old, I was all lust. Every bit of it. But I got to calling her on the telephone, talking to her. How you doing? And man, we could just talk about the weather. Small talk. I just wanted to hear her voice. Then I fell in love with her. Man, she fell in love with me. I told you, you know what? One thing she loved about me? She loved how I drove a car. I put my hand up here, and she told me one time going down the road, man, I just love how you drive. You know, after several years of marriage, it was like, man, your driving's terrible. Her and Dusty just got on to me just the other week. Man, you need to learn to drive. I just wanted to look at Barbara and put my hand up here and go, I remember a day when you said, I turn you on just the way I drive. It's that simple, church. It's that simple. And see, as you come and start this new year off with communion, we're going to remember that Christ is going to look at us. God's going to look at us through that. You have an advocate sitting next to the Father. And that's how God sees you now. He can't see you but through Jesus. It's the only way he can see you is through Christ. And the only way we can see others now is through Christ. So as the elders are coming, we're about to receive communion. Receive it today with the understanding, I want to become what God wants me to become. I want to be what he wants me to be.